Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Ivana, don't get even get everything Trump has passed. Our sympathies and prayers for the family, especially Eric and Ivanka, for the loss of their beloved mother, Ivana Trump. The WHO director, Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, I don't know how to pronounce that fellow's name, announces the COVID pandemic is nowhere near over, quote unquote. I can tell you why. I mean, beside the fact that he kowtows to Beijing, controlled by the globalist marionettes. In June last year, New Zealand became zealous about fighting the invisible enemy, set out to be the example for all nations. The headliner said, quote, herd immunity for COVID-19 requires 83% vaccination. New Zealand modeling shows. So they did some modeling and it told them the target was 83%. And they went for it. To be sure, they covered their bases. They also imposed indoor mask mandates. New Zealand would lead the way. They achieved their goal in a tweet from someone styling themselves PLC at Humble Analysis. Quote, New Zealand vaccinated their entire adult population by the end of February, 83% overall. Yet somehow they have the highest COVID case rate on Earth, despite an indoor mask mandate now set to tighten restrictions once again, end quote. So I checked it out. Here's an article boasting New Zealand had 91% of their population vaccinated, with 83% of the entire population double dosed. Now that's the entire population, friends. But that particular article was scrubbed from one official site. I got the old, sorry, the article you're looking for cannot be found thing, you know. But I did some super sleuth web searching and found the article by title at another web address. And it's right here in my notes. In case it's scrubbed too, when you look for it, I have copied a PDF of the article here. Show folder 890, notated as 890.17.3. The article is titled, 83% of eligible New Zealanders double dosed. 70 in hospital, 5 in ICU, 172 cases. Published November 20, 2021. Today, a little over a year later, New Zealanders are suffering a harder, more pervasive COVID attack than ever before. Way above what it was a year ago. From the New Zealand Herald, emergency measures are going into place in face of a serious spike in cases. 11,000 community cases announced for a third straight day. 23 virus-related deaths, with one a child of 10 or under. They don't know the age of the child, 10 or under. So the answer, more of what has not worked so far. Let's do more of it. More masks, free masks, more testing, free testing, and more jabs. Got to get the next booster. Hey, New Zealand, go talk to Israel, your number one competitor for leading the world in this battle against the Wuhan CCP bio-attack on the world. They'll tell you. Your plans aren't working. It's exacerbating the problem in those countries that spurned God's natural plan for addressing these things. You know, they decided to trust in the arm of flesh and depend on AstraZeneca in New Zealand if they couldn't get the Pfizer shot. Quote, Pfizer is the preferred COVID-19 vaccine for use in New Zealand. How's it working for you? Wherever the vaccination rate is the highest, the second wave hits the hardest. God wins again. Democrats want to overrule the SCOTUS and reinstate Roe. Pelosi's pushing for a vote today, I understand, July 16. Patrick Byrne, meanwhile, is giving testimony today. And it's a reveal-all testimony, a fascinating inside look at what happened in the meeting that took place on December 18th at the White House with President Trump, Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn in person, and Rudy and Chief of Staff Meadows joining in on speakerphone. A little over an hour after this meeting, Trump sent out the now famous tweet calling patriots to gather at the White House for a rally. And he ended the tweet with, it will be wild. The January 6th hounds from hell are suspicious the meeting was used to plan an insurrection involving a massive attack on the Capitol on January 6th, in order to stop them from certifying the Electoral College votes for Biden. Wow. Now, friend, here's the story from inside that meeting. On the point of January 6, before I go into that, Democrats find a 69-year-old lady with cancer a clear and present danger to democracy. She was at the rally, and among those who accepted the invitation of the Capitol Police to enter, she was arrested and held in the Democrat gulag for over a year, finally sentenced to 60 days in women's prison. She was taken into custody, dressed in orange, and put in a cell. Meanwhile, someone asked Kamala if she set up a bail fund to assist these protesters on January 6th, like she did those in the Summer of Love. These who were, in fact, mostly peaceful. But she cackled wildly as she explained, they don't get bail. Will Trump run? Forget about 2024. If we don't correct 2020, we will never see another American in the White House. But if he does run, he'd better watch out. According to Pino, president in name only, thank you, Bongino, 92% of Dems want Biden to run. Yeah. A reporter asked him what he would say to Democrats who don't want him to run in 2024. And he asked that question coming off a poll he read that shows 66% of Dems don't want Biden back. Biden snapped. He's the nastiest president we've ever had. You know, it really is strange. Even when Trump was needling the press, it was kind of fun. His attitude didn't become nasty or so, or little. But you look at this guy, he's a nasty fella. Trump was just very, very matter of fact about it. Here's Biden. They want me to run. Read the poll. Read the polls, Jack. You guys are all the same. That poll showed that 92% of Democrats, if I ran, would vote for me. So how did Disney's Buzz Lightyear movie featuring a homo kiss fare? Not so good. How about their follow-up cartoon plan to feature a gay Spidey? Yeah, not a lot of interest in that one either. Disney lost over $40 billion in value during their dance with woke. But Top Gun Maverick, on the other hand, a totally American-style hero, grosses the highest earnings of any movie at domestic box office, really worldwide, in its 110-year history. At Paramount, yeah, $1.2 billion so far. Past The Dark Knight and Titanic, hey, maybe Biden can bolster his sinking poll numbers if he comes out of the closet or declares himself to prefer she, her pronouns. It's working so well everywhere else. Folks, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity. A gourmet meal for the mind.
We are going to have to wait for results of the latest effort by Democrats to legalize killing babies in the womb. But please pray with us. There will be enough light to penetrate the darkened hearts of enough of those borderline Dems to stop this bloodlust. Mr. Byrne is being interrogated, or let's see, it's after 5 p.m. here Eastern, so his interrogation is probably already over in the books. But today, he sat before the J6 totally partisan unselect committee to answer questions regarding a meeting he participated in with Trump that ended a little over an hour before Trump sent out the following tweet that Democrats have held up as something like a smoking gun. Evidence Trump was inciting an insurrection to commence on January 6th. The tweet, quote, Peter Navarro releases 36-page report alleging election fraud more than sufficient to swing victory to Trump, and he gives the link to it. A great report by Peter, statistically impossible to have lost the 2020 election. Big protests in D.C. on January 6th, be there, will be wild, end quote. The proximity of the tweet to that much talked about, but heretofore undisclosed to the public meeting with regard to its contents and discussion, excites Shifty and Pelosi and Scummer and all the rest that something nefarious was plotted then. So they've asked everyone to testify except someone who was actually a full participant and party to the meeting. Well, that would be partly because Flynn and Powell are entangled in litigation. But Patrick was free to talk and offered to fill them in on what happened in that meeting several times over the last 9 months. But only now are they willing to receive his testimony. Generally, you know, they don't like talking to persons supportive of Trump. They only like to talk to people, you know, like that backstabbing, profit-exploiting Pat Cipollone, who behind Trump's back was whipping up the staff to push Trump out, get him to concede. They wanted to hear his take on the meeting, but that's problematic since he missed the first 20 or 30 minutes of it, something like that. At least the entire part where actual evidence was being presented to Trump, showing Our government knew about foreign interference into the 2020 election. Wait till we get to that. Yeah. The CISA and the FBI both stipulated in writing, in official alerts, knowledge of foreign interference in the 2020 presidential election. You know, they missed that part. Maybe they listened to the door, you know, those attorneys. You know how these stinking, lying, scoundrel lawyers are. They didn't want to testify regarding the evidence, so they can't have been in the room when it was presented. So perhaps they waited outside the room, and when that was pretty much done and Trump was discussing the contents of the letter Sidney brought for him to sign, well, that's when they stepped in. Anyway, the J6 partisan deep state rigged unselect committee wanted to hear from Pat, get Trump out of the White House, Cipollone. But like I said, all he could talk about was the shouting that went on, you know, an attempt to make himself look like a big shot that fronted off Flynn. Yeah, right. But they are running out of ammunition and credibility is fading fast. Actually, they never really had any with the American people beyond perhaps the 18% of American voters who actually believe Biden won. And think he's doing a great job, by the way. Those things go together. Those who believe he won think he's doing a great job. Think about it. Most of whom are tenured professors, you know, political hacks that work for Perkins Coie. I'm being facetious, come on. Or CNN or MSNBC, you know, the mainstream media. Lamestream media, it's called. Mostly stupid media is the one my wife likes best. You know, the media that 70% of America ignores. Or Democrat and other deep state Republicans who work for those who put them in power. Not for the people, but for those who put them in power, and it's understandable. It's the fat cats who pay Dominion for the outcomes they want. Or those who don't need a car for transportation and are fed and housed off government dole. There you go. That pretty much sums up the Biden voter profile. What do you think? Am I close? Probably not spot on, but pretty close. But he is not concerned because he knows something. Everyone else actually also knows. But too few want to really do anything about it. You want to talk about it, showcase about it, but not do something about it. And that's this, that the demons in America own the ballot boxes and control our elections. It's selection, not election. We wait to see who the deep state selected to rule over us, not who the people chose. Let's fix that. So I thought it would be interesting to look at this interview Patrick Byrne gave to Epoch Times, aired today while Byrne is behind closed doors for testimony. You see, it's taken a little bit, but we finally figured out that we're dealing with snakes here with these people, you know, and they must be handled carefully. Byrne wanted open, public testimony, the sort they gave to everyone else that hated Trump, like that ridiculous aide who worked in the office of Trump's chief of staff, who lied through her teeth about Trump lunging at the steering wheel of the presidential SUV. Give me a break. I forget her name now. And really, you should too. She wasn't as a joke, but she got fully televised coverage for her testimony as a Trump hater. But someone whose testimony might make Trump look good, well, you know, that's going to have to be done behind closed doors for you, bud, you know. Of course, they can't be obvious about it, so Cipollone testified behind closed doors too. He did not want Trump to hear what he had to say. I'm just surmising here, you understand? He's the sort that likes to drive the knife into the back of his friends without being seen. But Patrick now, he's a really dangerous fellow because, well, he is a Trump supporter. And they are about to hear some truth about all of this, and that must be controlled. So Mr. Byrne is smart. He knows these yahoos distort testimony when it's leaked to the press. So he decided he would go on record with what he plans to report to the committee and have it played during his closed-door testimony or before it, and said he did this so that we, the people, can compare his testimony that he gave to Epoch Times with what they, by they I mean the J6 snakes, leaked to the press from behind their closed doors. So when I get back, we'll look at this inside look, and I think you'll find it fascinating. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain. Warning, we have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheibach's mind. The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheibach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. If you happen to take the time to watch the full-length video of Burns' testimony, you'll find yourself getting confused in a few places, but that's good because it really means and shows that Burns did not script the interview with Epoch Times. It was not very carefully laid out, you know, like you would do if you were presenting this to a court. And for that reason, some information seems confusing from time to time and even contradictory until the reporter does his very good job of follow-up questions that brings out information that later on makes it all very clear. Now, I'm going to condense that testimony and lay it out in a more easy-to-follow presentation, but I have an audio of the entire interview available if you are unable to find it online and you want to hear it. That is, if you can't find it here, and I give you the address. First, the date was December 18, and Byrne brought Flynn and Powell with him to tour the White House. But his plan was to get in to meet with the president. In the course of the tour, as he hoped, he caught a glimpse of Trump in the Oval Office, and Trump recognized him and his friends and invited them inside. For the next 30 minutes, Byrne, Flynn, and Powell initiated conversation about the 2020 election. And Trump got Rudy and his chief of staff, Meadows, on the speakerphone. About 20-25 minutes into the conversation, White House staff attorneys Pat Cipollone and two others stepped into the meeting. The meeting went on for another hour and a half, with a break or two along the way, and moved from the Oval Office to the Cabinet Room and finally to the residence, where they finished up the meeting in the White House residence living room. Trump and Byrne enjoyed a plate of Grandma Trump's meatballs while they continued their deliberations. The meeting went like this. In the first 30 minutes, Byrne et al. Presented the executive orders authorizing the president to act in case of foreign interference with U.S. elections. I've discussed these with you before. I have copies of these documents if you want to look at them. Then they presented three government documents verifying that the government of the United States was knowledgeable of efforts on the part of Iran to interfere with the 2020 presidential elections. The question they put before the president is whether the evidence they were about to show him satisfied the criteria triggering the executive orders giving the president broad powers to respond to such a foreign attack on our government. Now, each of these documents was a government-prepared alert or intel report or briefing. The first evidence presented was dated October 22, 2020. It is alert AA-20-296B, and it's titled, quote, Iranian Advanced Persistent Threat Actors Threaten Election-Related Systems, end quote. It is a clear statement of intel from CISA, which is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and the FBI, warning that Iranian persistent threat actors are, quote, likely intent on influencing and interfering with the U.S. elections to sow discord among voters and undermine public confidence in the U.S. elections, end quote. Now, this proves our intel services had knowledge, not suspicion, but knowledge of Iran's intent to interfere with our elections. Considered alone, I agree with Byrne, this would probably not be actionable. I mean, beyond working to interrupt their efforts. The second document, however, compounds it, dated October 30, 2020, and following up on the earlier alert. This is alert AA-20-304A, and it's titled, quote, Iranian Advanced Persistent Threat Actor Identified Obtaining Voter Registration Data, end quote. Now, like the first alert, this was prepared jointly by CISA and FBI, and the document reports that CISA and the FBI had hard proof now, knowledge that the Iranians, listen, and others. I'll talk tonight in my comforted council on what the and others portends. But and others had actually hacked into states' voter registration files and took data. And I quote, CISA and the FBI are aware of an Iranian Advanced Persistent Threat, APT, actor targeting U.S. state websites to include election websites, CISA and the FBI assess this actor is responsible for the mass dissemination of voter intimidation emails to U.S. citizens and the dissemination of U.S. election-related disinformation in mid-October 2020, end quote. And then, quote, further evaluation by CISA, the FBI has identified the targeting of U.S. election websites was an intentional effort to influence and interfere with the 2020 U.S. presidential election, end quote. Now, this third document presented to the president during the first 30 minutes of this meeting, that ended up, by the way, being extended to about 4.5 hours, was a December 16, 2020 joint statement by the FBI, CISA, and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, or ODNI, reporting on the now infamous SolarWinds attack. That was the report that revealed the United States government, the entire government, had been, as Byrne put it, hacked to its toenails. You might remember all of that. The enemy simply walked in through our back door and moved into our systems. So that was the proof. The question before them was whether these documents from the government provide sufficient evidence to trigger executive orders allowing the president powers to act in defense of our Constitution in the event a foreign power interfered in our elections. Trump listened carefully as the evidence was presented and then picked up that presidential order Sidney had prepared for Trump to sign, if he should go along with this, in order to initiate the executive orders and authorize action. He asked the Byrne team, with White House lawyers present at that time, and Rudy and Meadows on speakerphone, what exactly are you asking me to do? Byrne said, put us in, coach. And he explained they were recommending that the president assume his powers under those executive orders and authorize an investigation into what happened in the 2020 presidential election, and that the team sitting in front of him would be able to take care of this in short order, within a week or two at the most. The conversation proceeded in a sort of, well, let's examine what this would look like if I decided to move forward with this. Or in other words, no decision was made either way at that time, but they began to explore options for moving forward on the intelligence presented. Byrne suggested, for the sake of restoring confidence in America's election system, they would proceed with the courts and the guards, since those two institutions are still regarded with respect. So he suggested a U.S. Marshal appointed by a judge select the cyber team from among National Guardsmen who work in cybersecurity to take images of the Dominion machines and then examine them for any corroborating evidence of foreign interference with our elections. Pat Cipollone stepped forward and warned the president that the American people would freak out if any uniforms are seen on this. And that discussion went around the room, and Trump finally said no uniforms. As it appeared, Trump was inclined, however, to move in favor with this plan. The White House attorneys were getting hot and objected vigorously. Cipollone did not want Trump to sign that document. He told Trump, you don't have to sign anything. If you want a special counsel to look into this, all you have to do is say so and appoint whoever you choose. At one point, Trump asked Pat Cipollone why he did not bring forward this information to him, the material that Byrne and his friends brought forward. Cipollone countered, I'm your White House counsel, not your campaign counsel. Huh. Byrne pointed out that Cipollone had been working behind Trump's back to get the entire staff to turn on Trump and compel him to concede. Cipollone protested, you know how hard I've worked for you. Which, as Byrne pointed out, was not a denial. Trump became agitated with Cipollone and said, okay, you say I can appoint special counsel? I do it now. I appoint Sidney Powell to be special counsel. But when Trump said he would appoint Sidney to be special counsel, the White House lawyers objected vigorously, and there was some shouting. By the way, according to Byrne, all the shouting came from these White House lawyers. And on three separate occasions, they, the White House team, the lawyers, stormed out of the office in a huff. I think to discuss what they would do next, you know, how to deal, how to counter something that came up. Byrne revealed that the scuttlebutt about town was that these White House counselors had been offered $1 million, man, or more, in a cushy job with a lobbying firm or consulting or something like that if they got Trump out, but warned that if they didn't get Trump out, their kids would be kicked out of their schools and barred from going to Yale. Huh. They strenuously objected that Powell would have top security clearance, and that would take months. Trump asked Flynn, and Flynn explained in the same way that he had power to appoint special counsel, he had power to grant top security clearance. So Trump did. I think this is one of the storming from the room moments, if I remember correctly. Anyway, Rudy showed up at the White House and joined the deliberations in person that continued on for two more hours in the president's residence living room. It seemed all was settled. Sidney Powell would be special counsel. Rudy would run the operation. They would pick six counties to run their examination, get a marshal to assemble a cyber team from the elites in the National Guard. They would get an image of the Dominion machines and examine them for evidence of foreign interference in the U.S. election. What they would do with this, if it turned out to be proved true, was not discussed. But Byrne did repeatedly relate to Trump that if they examined the machines and there was found no evidence of foreign interference, then he would need to concede immediately. To which Trump said, "Pat, you have no idea how easy that would be for me." He said, "But how can I do that if I believe the election was fraudulent and a foreign power was involved?" They left about 12:30 a.m., feeling very good, and agreeing that whatever the outcome of the investigation, they felt good that at least the American people had a fair and honest shot at getting to the bottom of this mess, and that they would secure election integrity. That was Friday night. At about 1:30 or so a.m., Trump tweeted the auspicious message inviting patriots to the White House on January 6th to protest. And as you know, he emphasized in his announcements about this that it would be a peaceful protest. He emphasized that, as you know. When Sidney went to the White House to pick up her pass, I think that was on Sunday, she was told the whole plan was scuttled. She was not told why, and the team was not given any explanation. When they learned that Trump had tweeted that invitation to a protest, they began promoting it and emphasizing that it should be and would be a peaceful protest. It was only sometime later that Byrne was to learn what happened. After the team departed, Rudy stayed behind and expressed his misgivings about the plan. He was concerned it would backfire on them, and he told Trump, "If you go forward with this plan, we will all be in prison." Trump has a huge regard for Rudy, as we know, and so backed away from the plan. I'm not privy to Rudy's thoughts on this, but from what I can see, and in retrospect, I think that was a grave error. At best, as I can put it together, Trump and Rudy decided they would present the evidence to state senators, recruit some honest men to present a challenge on January 6th, trusting that Pence would do the honorable thing and send the contested electors back to their state legislatures and give those states a chance to look at the evidence. You know what happened? Pence folded like the cheap suit he is because a deal was made with him, I heard, that he could be the next president. Well, now he's being betrayed for his own betrayal. I've spoken to this several times, and I don't have time to elaborate on it now, except to say, Pence decided to cave to the election thieves. He went with the thieves, just like Judas did. I have to go into this more tonight during our Comfort and Counsel live stream visit, and you can connect to that at Lighthouse Baptist Church, Santa Maria, California. I go in somewhere around 8, between 8 and 9. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call 805-314-2114 and let me know if you want me to call you back. And or go to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button. Send me an email. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
The battle for America is on. The spirit of Antichrist has risen in our land against the spirit of Jesus Christ. What side are you on? Choose wisely. Come to Lighthouse Baptist Church.